Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock? Gil, is it 10 o'clock?
It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, boy. It's been a rough week for me. I'm telling you what. I have just been from one calamity and one problem to the other, and I'm really glad to be able to sit down and deal with other people's problems. But before I do, let me ask you a question. If any of you know a technician who works on industrial equipment, specifically a Genie boom lift, I would pay for his time to have him walk me through a repair. At least between the two of us, we should be able to identify where I need to work. But I'm telling you what, it has just been a week. Here's another example. I had a friend stop by who had a low tire, and he was coming by the ranch. So he pulled him over to the barn. I can hear the air leaking. The tire's almost flat. It's like a new tire. So I said, well, we're going to have to put you on the spare. So we take the spare off. Well, meanwhile, he has a very nice wife and a little dog. So somehow or another, the dog chewed some wiring for the garage door. And I spent like 2 hours soldering the wires back together because all I have is like a half an inch of wire left. So I have to crunch. So then I wire it all up, and I get this fault code that says the wiring is miswired. Well, there's only two leads that come off this stupid eye or this sensor. So I go up to the top, and I switch two leads. I spent 2 hours on this stupid thing, couldn't figure it out, went to bed, got up in the morning, and I said, ah, I know what I did wrong. So I got up there. I only had to switch two because I hooked the white wire to the brown and white wire, and I should have hooked the white to the white and the brown and the white to the brown and white. But I didn't know that because I didn't have any wire left. It had all been chewed up. Anyway, that's just a day in the life of Mark Salem. It's going from one calamity to the other. It's just been an amazing 2 weeks. It's just been really that kind of a thing. I told you last week that we forgot to put oil in a customer's car. We're having to put a new engine into it. It's just one of those things that happens. I'm not mad. It's a calamity. It's going to cost a lot of money to fix this thing. But on the other hand, it could have been so much worse. There could have been a fire. There could have been a crash. There could have been all that kind of stuff. So it's okay. I'll tell you right now, a Honda Ridgeline with low miles will go 16 miles without any oil in it. 16 miles. Now, I don't know how many bells and whistles and lights were going on at that time, but the customer is not only a personal friend of mine, but he used to work for us. He's a retired policeman. And so this has nothing to do with him. It has to do with us, and we broke his car. I wish I could just buy it. It would probably be cheaper if I could just buy his truck. But nevertheless, it's just the way it is. 602-508-0960 if you want to cry to me while I cry to you about a car problem you have. 602-508-0960. I have a list of the best car repair shops that's been around since 1988. I was there long before all these other referral networks were there. I was the first one in the Valley because the number one question on the radio back then was, where's your shop at? And my mother said, you should stop thumping your chest and telling everybody where your shop is. Don't you have friends in the business? Yes, I do. Well, why don't you say, where do you live, and refer them to your friend? And I said, that's a good idea. Well, as a result of that, our business flourished. But at the same time, I was able to create a best car repair shops list, and Kurtz is one of them and has been on since, well, a very, very long time. He opened his doors in 1987, been working on domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. He has an ASC he has many ASC certified technicians, and he's also one, like I am. But if you're near I-17 in Belt, he's on the northeast corner. You don't have a repair shop. You've got something that nobody else can fix. I'm quite sure that Kurtz, C-U-R-T-S, Kurtz can fix it for you. They can find it and fix it. The real joy of being a car repair guy is fixing something nobody else could fix. And inevitably, it's something really simple that everybody overlooked. A bad connection, a blown fuse. A friend of mine with a motorhome, he couldn't get it running, and so we artificially inseminated it with some flammable stuff, and the motor would run, so it had to be the fuel pump in the tank. And I wasn't going to pull a fuel pump that holds 60 gallons of fuel. We don't have the equipment, so he hired someone to pull the tank, did that, and at the end of the day, the air conditioning didn't work. And I said to him, you just need to go back to them, because I am too doggone, I am not limber enough to crawl underneath the dash of your motorhome unless we remove the driver's seat. and that's going to take longer than it is some small kid. Anyway, the fuse is blown. And I don't know who did it, and I don't care. Nevertheless, that's just what happens when one person fixes somebody else's problem. It's just inevitably it's something simple. 602-508-0960. I get lots of emails, as you can imagine, every week, and I'm doing my best to, I think I do a really good job in answering all of them. It may not be the same day you send it to me, but I'm doing my best to answer all of them. And if you would leave your phone number there in your email, if it's going to take me 20 minutes to type an answer, I'd just as soon call you. But I'm going to call you from a blocked line. But when you answer the phone, the first thing I'm going to say is, this is Mark Salem. You sent me an email and asked me a car question. That way you know I'm not a telemarketer. And I say that real fast. And even then I get hung up on, but it's the best I can do. So 602-508-0960. Right now the car repair industry is just beginning to go into cooler months. And as a result of that, business will drop. And this is the time that some members of our industry will begin to sell. And that's in an effort to raise the income stream and the gross sales for the repair shop. You, as customers, are going to hear that your bushings are cracked. You're going to hear that your belts are cracked. You're going to hear that your air conditioning needs major work. And as you look at those, you say to yourself, my AC works fine. And my belts are cracked, but I only have 30,000 miles on them. And what does it mean when your lower control arm bushings are cracked? Those are important things. So it's kind of self-defense for car expense. You say, is this going to cause me an accident? Is this going to cause me a breakdown? And under the best of conditions, they'll tell you the truth. And the truth is more times than not, it's not going to. Lower control arm bushings, I don't remember, knock on wood. I don't remember the last time I saw a car come in because the bushings had failed and the car couldn't run down the road. Lower control arm bushings are very lucrative for us to fix. They're rather easy for us to fix. We get an alignment out of it as well. And so at the end of the day, the risk and reward is on our side. But the symptoms for lower control arm bushings being bad is it clunks when you come to a stop, a slightly quicker stop than you normally do. A slightly quicker stop. And it's going to clunk when you take off kind of rapidly. So a little bit more aggressive braking, a little bit more aggressive takeoff, and if there's a clunk, clunk, then the lower control arm bushings would be a place to start. There's other things that can happen as well. But folks, having bushings that are cracked drives me crazy, because cracked is not a peer in any publication about car repair stuff. Cracked is just something that's superficial that has nothing to do with the performance of a particular rubber product unless the cracks have caused it to disintegrate and it's missing pieces of itself. There's a big difference. Superficial cracks versus, hey, the bushings are starting to shed pieces of rubber. That's different. We have a phone call. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Bob.
Bob, good morning. How can I help you?
Morning, Mark. I can testify because I sent you an email 2 weeks ago about my son's GMC that the shop in Florida wanted to replace the catalytic converter and the 402 sensors.
Yeah.
And you called me back within less than 5 minutes from when I sent you the email.
Don't say that. That creates an expectation.
What happened, two days later, the check engine light went away. And he's been driving the truck fine for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. We discussed, just to kind of back it up, it was the catalytic converter and all four sensors, yes?
Yes.
Or two sensors. I don't remember.
Four. They wanted four for $1,500.
Okay.
That was the estimate they wrote just off reading the code.
Okay. Okay. So let's just kind of help everybody understand this. He goes in because he has a check engine light. First of all, the check engine light is always yellow. Yellow means caution. We have red lights, yellow lights, and in the old days, in the old Oldsmobiles and GM, we had a green light. We don't have the green light anymore. There's one on the traffic light that's not in your car anymore. So yellow means caution, continue on. Red means stop, please, right now. And those are the difference between a check engine light and an overheat light, or a check engine light and, hey, your oil pressure is gone, or your oil, you have no oil pressure. In the big scheme of things, you can't read the code and look at it. It has 402 sensor codes and a catalytic converter efficiency code. And then all of a sudden you bid this work for $1,500, $2,000. You have to run away from a shop like that. There is a specific procedure to go in and verify the operation of all four of those O2 sensors. For instance, I'll give you an example. Let's pretend that the range of an O2 sensor is 1 through 5, okay? 1 means there's not very much fuel rolling through the exhaust, and 5 means, uh-oh, somebody's turned the faucet on. Okay, you with me? Now, the O2 sensor is supposed to run in the middle at 2.5, which is half of 1 to 5. So what we do is we make the car run lean. Otherwise, we shut off some fuel, and we make it run with a substandard amount of fuel, and we shoot the oxygen sensor go to 1.
1 minute.
Then we artificially inseminate the motor with propane or gasoline or, you know, something. I mean, I've used hairspray before. And you put it in there to make it run rich, and the O2 sensor should go to 5. Now, if the O2 sensor doesn't move, but the one next to it does, then you go, okay, I got one bad. That's how it works. We use sophisticated equipment to do that. You have to know what you're doing, and you can test all four O2 sensors after the car's fully warmed up in less than an hour. And then when it comes to efficiency of the catalytic converter, the O2 sensors are going to measure the efficiency of the catalytic converter. So if you've got one or more O2 sensors out, oxygen sensors out, then you have to go in and fix those first, because there's a really strong possibility that this catalytic converter efficiency code will go away once we get the right messengers in there. So it thinks the efficiency is substandard, but really it's the absence of information from a dead oxygen sensor. So once you bring that oxygen sensor alive, then all of a sudden it looks at the chart and goes, oh, efficiency is okay. So that's kind of the way it was. But in Bob's case, his son's case in Florida, the light goes away. That means the problem goes away. Now, whether it's gone 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, we'll be okay. But the light's still yellow, and he should probably avoid that shop. So you're in Florida, your kid's in Florida, and you say, where do I find a good shop? Here's my advice. Go to 2 or 3 auto parts stores and just cuddle up, so to speak, not figuratively, cuddle up to the oldest guy on the counter and say to him, I'm in your town. I don't know where to go. I have a car problem. Who fixes your car? Who doesn't return the parts after they try them on a car? Who pays their bill on time? Who's been around the neighborhood for a very long time? Because he knows. He knows. And he's probably going to get the parts on your car. But he knows who that person is. So that's why you kind of lean on the guys at the parts counter to help you out. 602-508-0960. I'll be right back. Well, it's 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and for the next hour and 45 minutes, you're with me. 602-508-0960. We're talking about car repair problems. Does my car really need this? What's the symptom of that? How much should this cost? Here's what they're quoting me, blah, blah, blah. I'll help you out. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair is a Better Business Bureau A-rated shop. Nate is a great guy. He knows diesels as well as anybody I know. Service, repair, parts, both foreign and domestic. Here's some key words. Light diesel trucks. So they're located just south of I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. Been around a long time. Open 24 hours a day for parts on their website. So if you're looking for somebody that really knows your Ford, your Dodge, your Chevy diesel, then Nate over at Strictly Diesel Service and Repair would be a good place to call and a good place to start. Okay, 602-508-0960. I'm going to tell you every break that I need a Genie articulating boom lift technician to help me with a problem of my own. Oh, gosh. You have no idea how long I've spent on this. I bet 2 days and maybe 12 hours a day. So I have read every book. I have read every troubleshooting thing, and I know someone can fix it a lot easier than I can. So I'm willing to pay to have somebody, Mark at MarkSalem.com, Mark with a K, at MarkSalem.com. When it comes to car repair, though, it's really kind of a good idea for you to have a regular shop you go to. That's kind of important because most of us extend courtesies to those customers that have been ours for a long time. Now, at my shop, every customer has a customer number. And so I think we're at 45 or 50,000 right now. Here's the important part of this. We print, and the software is proprietary. We own it. We created it. I created it. The software prints your customer number on the work order so the technician understands how important that number is to management. So we had somebody come in the other day with a 21 number, two-digit, 21. Everybody in the shop knew that we had to treat this lady with the utmost respect. She had done business with us at least since 1991. And that's kind of how it works. So that relationship is important to the shop and to you, especially when you are faced with this big repair bill and you look him in the eye, or in my case, my daughter's eye, you look her and you say, how important is this that I do this right now? And if I don't do it, what's going to happen? Those are important questions, and you need somebody in front of you that you can trust. Now, there's only two answers. You cannot drive around with cords showing on your tire. That's a bad idea. Whether you buy tires from us, you need two front ones. Whether you buy tires from us, and by the way, you need alignment too to fix the problem that you've got on tire wear now. Either go with us or go with somebody else. But this is a safety issue. You really have to take care of it. Now let's talk about the other side. You have a small oil leak at the back of the transmission housing that needs a reseal and probably a bushing. So the question is, okay, what's the ramifications of not fixing this right now? Nothing but a spot on your garage floor. That's about it. So if you run out of transmission fluid, the transmission won't move anymore, and you'll know plenty of time in advance that there's a problem. You pull off the side of the road, put it in the park, call your road service, and have it towed in, if that's what you do. But if you run 10 or 12 quarts out of it through this leak, shame on you. You should not have done that. But that's the kind of conversations that you're going to have. Not everything is a crisis, and not everything needs to be done now. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Here is what's happening in the Valley and many large cities. There are these investment groups that are coming in and buying a bunch of shops. Two or three chain stores have just recently been purchased. Why I bring that to your attention is we're going to have new management. New management has the steering wheel of the operation. And so that could change for the better. It could stay the same, or it can change for the worst. With the prices they're paying for auto repair shops, there's no way they're going to be able to continue the status quo without raising the sales by 10 or 20 or 30%. That typically means that you're going to notice a difference when you do business with a repair shop that perhaps in this case is part of a chain. You'll notice a difference in the pressure. You can still do business there. Just have them show you. I want the pony show. I want the dog and pony show. I want you to take me out and show me what you're talking about. It's real simple. Ladies were always afraid to do that. But ladies, you knew when your husband was lying to you. You knew when your kid came home at 1 o'clock, he was going to have a story why he wasn't home at noon. You're smart enough to know that. You're smart enough to know the old bull excrement as opposed to somebody who has your best interest at heart. This, you know that. Guys, the hairy-chested guys, they all know everything now, and so they'll be able to sift through the jargon better than you will. But it's just really, watch out. I'm not saying you should go to one of my best shops or my shop. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying be aware that this could change. Now, I know three of the four owners that have recently, and I'm happy for them. they're all in their senior years. They've all worked hard for many, many years, and two of them longer than I've been around, and I've been around since 1979. So I'm real happy for them. This is the retirement they hoped for. This is what they all hoped to accomplish, and that's good. And frankly, when I sell, I don't care who comes in behind me. It's just not anything I can control. Somebody comes in and offers me a whole lot of money, I may get out of here. I've got kids there, but so I'm not going to sell. I'm going to have the kids go. But when you have the second generation and even the third generation of the person or the family that opened the business, that's an important consideration as well. We're in our second generation, so Mark and Renee were first, and then our daughter and son, Andy and Alan, were second. And, you know, I'm not going to be around if any of the grandkids are going to have greasy fingernails. And, frankly, I'm not going to care either. But if they should do that, a three-generation business of any kind says all it needs to say to consumers. They've been around a long time, and they haven't been around a long time because they're ripping everybody's heads off every time they come in for an oil change. And they give them a laundry list of $300, $400, $500 worth of stuff you have to have right now. That's clearly something that all of you can see, can hear, and then walk out and thank the dear Lord that you were smart enough to just walk away, because the opposite feeling is pretty bad. I had a bunch of this work done. I can't tell a bit of difference. I forgot to ask for my old parts back because my son wants to see them so that he can verify that this is bad, that is bad, or whatever. So just say no and thank you and get everything in writing. That's the important part. Everything in writing. Tell me what's wrong with my car and how much it's going to cost me. Put it in writing. Staple your business card to it. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. So it's 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and you're welcome to join us. 602-508-0960. A couple things, and then we're going to take care of Will. Number one, a doctor called. He didn't want to go on the air, and he told us that he was impressed because Mark admitted to destroying a customer's engine. But I take that to heart. Thank you for saying that. It means a lot to me. I've been doing radio since 1988. I can't possibly think that I'm not going to make a mistake or I'm going to be perfect. I'm telling you that because I'm not perfect, and neither is my shop. We make mistakes. We're proud to raise our hand and say we messed up. But you can't hide from those kinds of things. And, you know, if he puts a Yelp thing on there and says, they destroyed my engine, yeah, we did. We did. We put a new one in, but we did. So thank you for noticing. But for the rest of you, mistakes are in my daily life. My garage door was one of them that I spent all night on last night. I caused the problem. But at the end of the day, thank you for noticing that. It's also important to know that he was a doctor, because probably like car mechanics, they don't necessarily raise their hand. But here's the difference. Their risk is much bigger than mine. So, and they have insurance companies that tell them to be quiet, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I'm impressed, and thank you very much, doctor. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing is in Mesa. He's the only one in Mesa that I can say you should go to. Brian and Thelma are good people. They know right from wrong. They're both of them families, came from old gas station days in the 50s, 60s, and 70s in Mesa. Cecil Thompson and John Vivian, those two guys are mentors to me when I was a kid in high school. So I know that they're good. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley, and unfortunately it's the only shop in Mesa that I can tell you should go see. Will, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that little story about the doctor. I've been a registered nurse for over 30 years, and, yeah, we do make mistakes in the healthcare field, too. So, but it's like you said, you just have to own up to it and make it right, you know?
Yep.
My question today, it's kind of cheesy, I don't know, but I've got this 2000 F-150 pickup truck. I love it. It's great. But the whole time I've had it, I never get good AM radio reception, and I'm sick of it, Mark. I've tried to buy antennas, and I don't know. Do you know a specialty shop I could take it to? Because I like to listen to AM conservative talk radio, and that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, sounds good to me in Tempe. Sounds good to me. They've been in business I don't know where they're at now. They're on Broadway and I think near Hardy, but they were at Broadway and Mill across the street from Tempe High School. And okay. I know those guys. They put a radio in my boat. They've done a lot of work for me. They're really, really good. And if they can't fix it, then they'll send you to somebody who is. Let me tell you too that the antenna is the most sophisticated part of AM. And I know that you said that you put a new antenna on it, but it could be the connection at the back of the radio. There's a lot of things it could be, especially if FM is just fine, but AM is scratchy and you're in the city. So, but you're not going to tell them that that's what Mark, the car guy, said. You're just going to call them up and tell them what you said to me. And then you're going to ask them, what's your checkout?
Sounds good. Yeah, because FM is perfect, like you said. Absolutely.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you. You bet. Sounds good to me. And he also said that. He said, sounds good to me. That's the name of the shop. Anyway, if you have a question, if I don't know it, I'll BS my way through it. But I'm pretty good at what I do. Who's next?
That would be Ken.
Ken, good morning. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a 91 Ranger with the 3-liter V6.
Yeah.
And oil pan gasket leak. I've had it about 20,000 miles, and the gasket there at the very front under the crankshaft has always stuck out in a half moon, or more than an inch. And it looks like now whatever was underneath the pan is broken, and so, engine running, the oil is, it pours out of there.
Okay. It's not, is it a two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive?
Two-wheel.
Okay. On a 1 to 10 scale, that's not a 10 to do. It's probably a 3, maybe a 4. Sometimes we have to loosen up the suspension or take a cross member out to drop the pan. But this isn't a big deal. But you're saying that the gasket's kind of bowed out for the pan mates to the bottom of the engine block. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, the gasket that I'm looking at was made this way. It's kind of a half moon instead of a straight piece.
Okay.
But it since I've owned it, it always stuck out. I was surprised it was sticking out so far.
Okay, and this is at the front of the engine, and here's why I ask you. There's a rubber seal around the front crankshaft, which is in the timing cover. So if the seal is hanging out, you're going to have a lot of oil on the ground, whether it's the pan gasket or whether it's the front seal. Two different operations, though. But frankly, okay, if you can see it, then the shop's not going to have any problem seeing it. I would insist that someone come out so I could point out where I'm talking about. I would insist on how much a checkout charge is, and I would insist on an estimate before we start. And I want an out-the-door estimate. Now, if I was bidding this, it would be the pan gasket. It would be the labor to take the pan gasket on and off. It would be an oil change. And I can't think of anything else. And then I would bid shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. And basically, the shop supplies, environmental, and sales tax is between 6 and 8% of the bill, and then sales tax is 10. So it's easy for us to just add all that stuff up. Do you have a garage you like?
Oh, I have been to Thompson's in the past.
Okay. I'm sure Brian would agree with me. This isn't that big of a deal. And the diagnosis, if you can see it, the diagnosis can be taken care of in the parking lot with a flashlight. So I'm quite sure most of us could understand what you're talking about and see what you're talking about. The question is did we pop the front seal out of it, or do we have the pan gasket bowed? Now, a PCV valve service would be appropriate because the PCV valves vents the inside of the engine and prevents major pressure. So if the gasket's bowed out, then we would want to replace the PCV valve system at the same time, which is a hose, a PCV valve, and a breather element, and the parts alone are probably less than $20. So that's what I would do.
Oh, there's more than just the PZ? There's more than just that one valve?
Yeah, because what we do on the motor that you've got, we have air being sucked into the engine, okay? So
right.
Air is going to go through the breather because we want to clean it. Now, there's the vacuum cleaner on the other side of the valve cover, which is called the PCV valve. So fresh air comes in on the driver's side. It goes through the engine, picks up all those hydrocarbon and molecules. It sucks it into the PCV valve. The hose goes right into the intake, and it goes right back into the cylinders. So it's a big circle, and we're venting the inside of the engine so there's no pressure. So the breather has to be cleaned or checked or replaced, because that's what filters the ambient air going through your motor. The PCV valve should be replaced, and then obviously we'd make sure that the hose was not collapsed and not leaking. So that's easy. That's easy.
Okay.
Okay.
So this leaks a lot. I'm afraid to drive it. Can I use some RTV
fill
a spot up so that I can drive it?
No. I don't want you to do that. If it leaks a lot, I mean, does it leave a trail when you leave your driveway?
A puddle.
Okay. Your risk is an engine. So I think road service and having it towed to your local repair shop is the best thing. I think the risk and reward is way out of whack on this. So your reward is peanuts compared to the risk. So I got to run, but thank you, Ken. That was a great question. 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Automatic Transmission Exchange, we fondly call ATE, has been in building transmissions in the Phoenix area since 1968. Phil began there at a cleanup guy. Then he moved into what we call the R&R, take it out and put it back in. Then he went into rebuild and diagnosis, and now he runs the operation. So he has literally crawled up from sweeping cigarette butts up in the parking lot, which is where my kids started, all the way up to making decisions and taking the grief that the technicians caused. So if you have a transmission problem, 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. There was a bumper sticker I saw. Maybe you can help me. It said something like this. There was a first sentence, and then the second sentence said, but a real hero is wearing dog tags. It was a hero and dog tags. And if anybody's seen that or has that on their car, tell me what it said, because the car went by me so fast, all I saw was hero and the dog cards. I would like to know what that bumper sticker said. So if you know, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. You know, the Dr. Will called earlier the show. And by the way, we have another hour going. So if you want to call in now, it's great. And if you want to wait till after the top of the hour, that's fine too. But Dr. Will called in, and there always has been a friendly relationship between car repair guys, and doctors. In the old days, the car repair guys would say, well, our patients can't tell us where they hurt, and so we're better than you are. Clearly, that's not the case, because we're not doing brain surgery and we're not doing appendectomies and fixing knees and hips. But today we can't say that, because cars do talk to us, and they tell us a lot about how they're feeling, and so our patients can talk to us as well. All righty, who might that be?
Next caller is Richard.
Richard, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. I've got a 2007 Nissan Altima, 3.5 V6 in it. It's got I believe it's called a CVT transmission, correct?
Yes, sir.
When I go, it's getting old. It's got 193,000 miles, but it still runs like a champ. But when I go on, long trips with it, a couple hundred miles, or if I'm driving it really hard, over 80 miles an hour consistently for quite a distance, it'll start to make a weird whining sound that I hear inside the car, it almost sounds like it comes over the radio a little bit. It's really strange.
Okay.
And then it starts to shift a little differently. But I'm just wondering, if I'm not doing that, it runs fine. So is that the beginning stages of a certain component of the transmission going bad, you think? Or
yes, it can be. It can be. But there's a couple things. Have you ever had the transmission fluid checked or changed?
Yes, I actually changed it at 150,000.
Okay. and you did it right, because the symptoms you're talking about sound like that it could be a low fluid level problem, because we're sucking air, which creates the whine. So I just review the process. And secondly, you could take it to a shop and say, are you well-versed in servicing my ultimate transmission, and how much does that cost? But it, first of all, when you said that you had an Altima, an 07 Altima, 13 years old, and you got 192K on a CVT transmission, I want to tell you what I was thinking. You're lying to me, because they don't go that long.
So yeah, I swear I love this car.
I believe you. I believe you. But I am amazed that this CVT went 192K. That's 8 times around the equator. So it's just, this is not well known. If you have to put a new transmission in this, don't you complain one bit, because this one, you should have been on your third one by now. So,
oh, wow. I'm fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my car. I love this car. It runs great.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
The only choice you really have is a boxed one, because no one's rebuilding those things. They're so sophisticated, and it takes so many special tools, and you have to wink your right eye and put your tongue out your left tooth and wave a chicken around your head and bark like the moon, and you got all this weird stuff going on. So, most of us are just buying a crate, a new transmission in a crate, and we're installing it. So we're not doing any diagnostics. We're not going to do anything. We smell the fluid. If it's burnt, it's gone, and just be done with it. But if you've done it before, I'd do it again. I'd make sure that I followed the process as far as filling it up and making sure that it is full. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I just put in what it drained out, so I kind of replaced what I pulled out. So.
Yeah, and that's a good way to do it. But if you did it at 150 for the first time, I would suspect, because of the whining, I would suspect it might be a little bit low.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll double-check that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Richard. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We've got another 7 minutes for the show. You can hear me snore, or you can call in 602-508-0960. There is always that question that when I get in real high mileage, do I keep it? And it's a math question. It's just really a math question. A car will normally cost you hundreds of dollars a month to drive. And that's paying off the car and the normal maintenance and the gasoline and all that kind of stuff. License plates, stickers, emissions test, all that stuff. Well, as the car gets older, the license plates get cheaper. And when you buy something like this CVT, let's say he spent $2,000 for it, $2,000 will not pay any portion of any new car invoice. It won't pay the tax. It won't pay the plates. It won't pay for the car. It won't pay for if you're going to, I'm not an advocate of aftermarket warranties, but many people are. The idea is how much do I have to spend to put this down back on the road, and will it give me some semblance of service? So if you put a $2,000, $4,000, $5,000 transmission in your car and it'll give you another 150,000 miles, that's a tough decision. On the other hand, if your husband or your wife is tired of the car and it's time to get a new one, I can do a lot of work on your car for sales tax and license on your new car. So a lot can be done, and those are non-recoverable expenses when you buy your new car. You're not going to drive out your license plates, and you're not going to drive out your sales tax. So you start automatically behind the eight ball, because your cost per mile is a whole lot of money on the front side. So I'm not advocating that you do business with me or anybody else. I'm just giving you the math part of it. Whether you trade your car in every 50K, or whether you'd run it to 250 and trade it in, or get rid of it, or donate it to a good cause, that's okay with me. But that's just how I feel. Who's on the phone?
That would be Henry.
Henry, good morning.
Good morning, sir. I have a question. The
sure.
question is, where do you go for light off-roading adventures and fun in the valley?
Well, I like Four Peaks. I like Four Peaks a lot. I like to go up to Pace. We actually live part-time in Pace, and I bring my horses up here in the summertime. And so I like the Gila County area. I like around Roosevelt Lake. I like around up on the rim, on the top of the rim. If you want to go light four-wheeling, the best road that I think, and I'm going to get a lot of argument about this. You go up the 260 to the top of the rim in Heber, or you're heading towards Heber. When you get up to the top of the rim, there's a ranger station on the left, and there's a road to the ranger station's on the right, and the road to the left goes to Woods Canyon Lake. That's called the 300 Road. It goes from there, it goes west across the top of the rim, and it comes out over on the road that you go from Pine to Strawberry up on Jake's Corner and stuff. So there's a big Y of the roadway. 87 comes into Payson, and then 260 goes left and 260 goes right. So I like the 300 Road. It is a light duty. It's not anything that you're going to, you know, get out and have to shovel. But it is a rough road, but it's a good road. And that 300 Road is a really nice road. It's something worth doing once in your life.
Second question, you have several kids, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
If you didn't name them, would you name them? What car name would you pick for your kids?
For Alan, I would. Is there a car called I'm Sorry I Ever Birthed You? No. I named all my kids with an A, Alan, Andy, and Allison, because I wanted them to be first in line for the lunch at school. That's why I named them all A's. But Alan is
Audi. Audi. Aston.
Nope. He's gonna be a really fast car, a big truck, something like that. Andy, around her temperament, she's very calm. She belongs in a Honda, an Explorer, a Honda, you know, a Toyota. And Allison is my middle daughter, and she belongs in a Jeep. A very fast, very tough off-road Jeep. So I don't know how to answer that any other way, but it's a great question I've never been answered before. Let me ask you a question. What's Henry if he's a car?
If I wasn't Henry?
Yeah, no. Am I talking to Henry's wife?
No,
okay.
Henry himself.
Okay.
I took on her voice. Sometimes I do.
Okay, so your wife.
If your wife
was the name of a car, would she be like a Barracuda, or would she be?
No, she would be Matt.
Oh, I'm not touching that. I'm not
Dog and everything.
No, I'm not going there. Hey, Gil, take Henry down before we both get into trouble. And how'd you like that Barracuda thing? That was just right off the tip of my tongue. People don't even remember the Barracuda. None of the young kids know, but it was this funny looking car that was kind of fast, and I think it was a Chrysler, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyway, 602-508-0960. If you want to call, we're going to be back in about 7 minutes. So if you want to call now, you can, 602-508-0960. If you know somebody who's wants to work on a Genie boom lift, the model is an S80, I need some help fixing mine.
1 minute.
And I would love to talk to somebody who knows those boom lifts in and out, and here's my symptoms. It has no steering, and it has no drive. So it runs, and everything, the boom works, but what happens is when you move the stick to move forward, it doesn't move forward, and when you move the stick left and right to steer it, it doesn't steer. This is why it's a problem. This is why it's an emergency for Mark Salem. It's blocking the entire driveway, and no one can get in or get out. So I'm going to have to drive my wife's car and my truck through the grass to get out, and I don't really want to do that. So, yeah, it's a Genie boom lift. It's an articulating Genie boom lift, and it has no drive and no steer, but the motor runs and the boom works properly, up, down, left, right, and all that jazz. So Mark at MarkSalem.com, Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark is with the K. Salem's like the cigarette. Mark at MarkSalem.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and we're here for the next hour talking about your car questions. You and your wife have a disagreement about what new car to buy next time, or whether to fix the old one, or buy a new one, or whatever. But I think the most important thing I want to tell you right now is that Phoenix is 117. Okay? 117. This morning in Payson, it was 58 degrees. And right now, it's 100. So I just wanted to remind you that. I don't work for the Chamber of Commerce in Payson or Gila County. I just want to remind you. And if you come up here to buy a house, I understand that the houses are put on the market at 9 o'clock and they're sold at 10 o'clock. So there may be a few of you up there. But California plates and Colorado plates seem to dominate the new plates in the Gila County area. So it is what it is, but it's a lot cooler here than it is down there. This morning I woke up and I had to go feed the horses. And you see, if I get there, let's say a little after 5:30, it's kind of dark. I know where I'm going, and I don't have to get dressed, if you know what I mean. I might have, I got a t-shirt on, but I might have my jammies on. So I'm out there feeding this morning. There isn't a soul in 100 miles because we back up to the forest. I think there isn't a soul. There's two ladies walking down my fence line. And I see them, and so I kind of freeze, thinking that if I just stand there, they won't notice me. And so I wait, and I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, okay, well, they're not seeing me, and I'm not moving, so I'm not going to catch their eye. So they get close to me, and they go, Mark, hi. So anyway, I said hi, Betty Lou, and whatever her name was, and stuff like that. So in Payson, it's still pretty nice, but nevertheless, if you like Phoenix, then go ahead and bake your butt off. Who's next, Gil?
That would be Mark.
Mark to Mark. How you doing?
Hey, Mark.
Yes,
copy
sir.
That. Hey, listen, I got your answer to the question about real heroes don't wear capes.
Oh.
They wear dog tags.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're exact.
You bet. And of course, only a soldier would know that.
Well,
anyway.
I saw that, and I really liked that, and I wanted to get one of those, but I didn't remember the first. But the dog tags. And you're right. Real heroes don't wear capes. They have dog tags or something like that.
And yes, that's exactly it. And it refers to superheroes in the comics, you know, Superman, Batman.
Yep.
Those are the heroes, superheroes, although they're inspirational, too, and they're you know, kind of exciting and cool to watch. But the real deal, the real credit goes to the real heroes out there protecting our country and, you know,
yes,
wearing a dog tag.
Yes, yes. There's a special kind of relationship I have with many of the guys that were born in my era. My principal at Tempe High School, his name was Jim Osmond. And him and I and Ben Elkins, who is the auto mechanics teacher, we ultimately became very good friends. But Mr. Elkins sent me to the principal's office because I was misbehaving. And the principal would have me go pick up his dry cleaning and get his car washed and stuff. And I was always nice to the principal because he was the draft board president. And he kind of decided who went to Vietnam. And so Mr. Osmond was always really nice to me. And I was sure I was going to Vietnam, but they called the draft just before my number was to be called. And they didn't take anybody.
Oh, wow.
Now, before that, I tried to join every portion of the armed forces, and they wouldn't take you. So
I don't feel them.
And they had just started evacuating Hanoi, and it was in this period of time that I would have gone. So I've always had an affection for the guys that fought in my place. And I've always, the thing that's upset me the most, which I'm sure 99.9% of the people, is how they were treated when they came home, because they weren't treated like the heroes that we have today. And
I know.
And it's,
I know.
That's
sad.
That's bothersome to me.
Sad. But there's so many of them still out there, and they appreciate anything that anyone can do for them.
Yeah. Well, just trust me when I tell you that my family shares my point of view with respect to the Vietnam veterans. Let me tell you a funny story. In the back windshield of my truck that's dressed like a flag, it says, God bless Vietnam veterans. And that's my era.
Wow.
Okay. So I'm at Walmart not too long ago, and a guy walks up to me, and he goes, I really like your truck. And I hear that a lot, and I say, thank you very much. And he says, but I think that you should put God bless all Viets and not Vietnam Vets. And I said, well, yeah. I understand your point of view, and I respect it, but the Vietnam Vets were my kind of guys. Those are the guys that fought the war in my place. They came home to a different reception than everybody else has. So it's kind of my error. And he goes, well, I still think you should put God bless all Viets. And I said, well, there's two reasons why I'm going to say no. One of them is they fought in my place. And the other one is, it's my GD truck. At that point, my wife grabs my arm and drags me over the truck. Get in, you're an idiot. But it is. It's my truck, and I get to put what on it. But yes, you and I share the same feeling. And you and I and millions of other people that are grateful to the Vietnam veterans that fought in my place and did a good job back then and didn't come home to the welcome that everybody else did. So thank you, Mark. Mark to Mark, we're going to go out from here. But thank you for that. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And we have another caller. Who might that be, Gil?
That would be Chris.
Chris, good morning.
Morning.
How can I help you? I
have a question. I've been doing some troubleshooting on this 2004 Chevy Aveo, and it has a stalling issue once in a while and intermittent start after it's cooled down. So you go to the grocery store, and it'll crank, but it won't start. You give it 10 minutes or so, and sometimes it'll just fire up like a top.
And you say it's dying and stalling too?
Yes. So sometimes it will. It'll run like a tap, and then sometimes you'll get home and it will just die on you, okay, right as soon as you put it in park.
Okay.
So there's no check engine light.
Okay.
And I've done a couple things. The ignition coil, some people said after those get hot, it could be the problem. So I've done that. I've done the crankshaft position sensor. Same thing. No go there.
Okay.
Kind of at a loss.
Yeah, well, I'm teasing you now, okay? Please, I'm teasing you. Now we know what it isn't. We still don't know what it is. But let me talk out loud about this. I listen carefully to what you say, and there's some relationship of temperature here. Engine hot, engine cold, so forth. There's also a time it runs fine, and then there's also a time it dies. And that would never be spark. So the coil, the module, the crankshaft sensor, I say never. 99% of the time, that's not going to be spark. This is a fuel issue. And so let me talk about this. I want you to keep the tank north of 3/4, okay? And the question to you is different or not? Because, see, the fuel pump sits down in the tank, and it's cooled and lubricated by the fuel. So there's a lot of kids at ASU that we put pumps in their cars on a regular basis because they run off the bottom quarter of the tank. And so the pump's out there hanging in midair, and really we want it submerged. The second thing that if you crank and you know it's not going to fire, I want you to turn the key off, and I want you to turn the key to the on position but not the crank position, just on. And I want you to count like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Off. Turn the key back on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you to do it 2 or 3 times. Then I want you to see if it'll start. If it starts,
I've done that, and it doesn't. I was hoping it was like a priming issue with the fuel.
Yeah. Well, what I'm doing is I'm turning the pump on and off. So when you turn the key off, it shuts the pump off, and you turn it on. So I'm trying to jiggle. I'm using the key to kind of jiggle the pump. Another thing you can do if you want to, if you have old clothes, this isn't a good idea for Sunday morning go to meeting or go to church clothes, but you can crawl underneath there with a rubber mallet and just hit that tank, not hard enough to dent it, but just hard a couple of times, and then this is after you've cranked it and it doesn't start. Then you get in and it starts, and then, I mean, we're getting closer to the fuel pump. Now, if you have a shop that you deal with, or if you want to try one of these auto parts stores, see if anybody will rent you a fuel pressure gauge. You have a Schrader valve underneath on the motor, on the fuel rail. You put the temperature or the pressure gauge on there. You tape it to the outside of the windshield, and you monitor fuel pressure. So it should have 30 to 40 pounds of fuel pressure. So if you're driving down the road and you see the fuel pressure start falling, then all of a sudden it starts running out of fuel, or it starts bogging down, or it dies, then 1 and 1 equals 2. Now, have you replaced the filter?
That I have not, but since you mentioned gas, that was the first thing that popped up in my mind.
Yeah. And I want you to raise your right hand and say, I promise.
I promise.
When I take the old fuel filter out, I'm going to turn it to where the exit part is down, and I'm going to shake all the fuel out of it. Okay? I'm going to put my lips on the inside part of that, and I'm going to blow as hard as I can, and I'm going to have the new filter in my other hand. So you're going to blow through the old filter, and it's like blowing Louis Armstrong's trumpet. Your cheeks swell up, and you can't possibly push breath through the oil filter, through the fuel filter. Then you go to the new one, and you...
1 minute.
It blows through like a straw. At that point, you fixed it. You know you fixed it. So everybody throws the old fuel filter away, but they don't know if they fixed it or not. They don't even know if it needed it or not. But that's the easy way to do it. You're not going to get your wife to wrap her lips around the end of that fuel filter. But I'm saying it just takes a second, and it's not going to leave you with a gallon of gas in your mouth. Just blow through the doggone thing, and it'll tell you all you need to know. But I think it's fuel. Your description fits fuel better than it does ignition. I can tell you that much.
It makes sense. I appreciate it, and I'm going to dig into that today once it cools down.
All righty. Good enough. Thank you for calling. Okay, 602-508-0960. I have 5 lines open. Gil is in the background. You see, I can hear Gil out of one side of my headphones, and then I hear the show out of my other side of my headphones. And on Gil's side of the headphones, this is what I hear. So I'm going to wake him up here just a minute. Hold on. Gil, wake up and answer the phone.
I'm awake.
And we'll be right back after this. Well, it's 20 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon talking about car and car repair stuff. Let me tell you about a couple shops real quick, and then I'm going to get to the phones. Oh, and you still have time. 602-508-0960. Carlo, you stay there. 602-508-0960. Blackwell Automotive is up at 40th and Greenway. Tom and I are cut from the same cloth, and I'll tell you how you know that. Both of us believe that if you play by the rules, you miss all the fun. So we're both a little ornery, but Blackwell can fix cars. Tom is a really good technician, and especially if you have an older or vintage car, you should at least take it by and have him look at it if you're thinking about doing something. But Tom's a good guy. He has a good shop. He has good people. I've known him for a very, very long time, 20 years or more, and he is good. Now, that northeast portion of the valley, that Scottsdale Northeast, Blackwell Automotive is the only one up there from a gasoline point of view that I can recommend. Let's go. Carlo, you're up next.
Hey, Mark. I have a transmission question.
Okay.
I have a 2018 Dodge 3500. When I had about 1,200 miles on it, I took off fast, and it felt like somebody ran me from behind when it shifted gears. Took it to the dealer. They replaced some type of pump that's in the transmission.
Okay.
All right. Now I have about 15,000 miles on it on vacation, and I took off to, drive out of the parking lot, and then when it shifted, it felt like my fifth wheel was coming through my truck. So they had to change that pump again. They changed the pump. Now I had like 14,000 miles on it. They put the new pump in. I left the dealership driving down Bell Road, and it did the same thing. Now, they had it for 3 weeks the first time. Now they've had it 3 weeks this time, and it did it again. Now the part is not available for another 4 to 6 weeks. That's the email that I received from Mopar. If they fix this, should I have any concerns with this transmission doing this again?
Well, I think you should change dealerships. I think you should...
I did. I went to a different dealership this time here.
Okay.
So
I think the COVID has created this kind of sourcing problems. It's not uncommon. We're having the same problem as everybody else is.
Right.
To do the
right.
same repair over and over again is the definition of insanity. I would say to the dealership, you would really make me happy if you would just put in another transmission. Just put in another transmission. If you have, and certainly you have one on the shelf. Now, if you wanted to, you could call their parts department. This is kind of a workaround. This is kind of devious. Call the parts department, give me your VIN, and say, hey, do you have a transmission there that fits my truck? And if they do, then call service and say, hey, I want you to put that transmission in my truck. I want you to consider it. Make me really happy. I'm really unhappy about sitting having my truck sit here for three or four, and especially after three attempts at the repair. Here's the good news.
Yes.
The good news is all this transmission problem you have, you've got a major drivetrain that takes you to, what, 60, 80,000?
Yes.
Okay. This kind of extends that in a real pragmatic way, because if you have a transmission failure that fails 10,000 miles after you're out of the powertrain warranty, you're going to take all that paperwork in and say, hey, I've had a transmission since day one. Now, you could also call the 1-800 Chrysler line and tell them you're terribly unhappy with your truck. You want them to buy it back. You tell them what you've told me in a nutshell. Three times you've gone to fix the same thing, and you
emails.
Haven't been.
I had received a call and an email from somebody from Ram. They would cover my expenses for my hotel and whatnot. I said, for 21 days? I said, you know, but anyway, all right, I'm going to give them one more shot. I'm going to call the dealer, see if they do have a transmission. But if I get a new truck, that new Asian transmission, is that what it is?
That seems to be, at least at first blush, that seems to be a really good transmission. It's made with, and I don't remember the name of the place or the name of the business, but it's a, I don't even remember what the word I'm looking for is, but it's the two of them went together and built this thing, and the guys that have it really like it. And I don't know that I would be worried about it, and I don't think it's brand new either. I think it's a year or two old, but I'm not sure. But
the
real person, your hero, is going to be the person on the other end of that phone call, on the other end of that email. They've opened up a file for you, and so they're offering you all this kind of stuff. You don't have to take what they offer. You just say, hey, just give me my money back on the truck. I'll pay a prorated amount. I'll pay for the mileage I drove on it, but I don't want it anymore. If you guys can't fix it, then you don't have extra parts. The fact that they don't have parts means that they're going through those pumps like crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring.
And I'll take a 2020, and I'll pay the difference between the 2020. I'll do something, or you just take it back because I don't want it. I think it's a possibility going to leave me and my family stranded, and it's something that creates a real scare to my family when all of a sudden this thing barks real hard on an upshift. So I would say the same thing if it was a Chevrolet or a Ford or whatever. I sat in those committees. I was a technical advisor for Ford for many years. I've done Toyota, Lexus, Honda. I've done all of those people. And if there is nothing on the horizon, then you, in my opinion, my lay person's opinion, you have every right, and I think the success is pretty high, to say to them, this is unacceptable. And my truck is depreciating while it sits in your lot. So be polite.
I'm going to definitely take your advice on that.
But be polite but firm.
Yes.
And every time you hang up, you get something from them. What are we going to do next? How long is this going to last? What happens if it does it again? I know I'm iffing you, but I want to know that this is going to be the last time. If this happens again, I don't want this truck. So
right.
And
just the third time. So.
Yeah. So that's what I would do. And like I said, it doesn't make any difference what brand it's got on it. And I know that you're calling because my brother told you to call and say it's a Dodge, but it's really a Ford. And and I'm kidding you. So anyway, good luck to you. Thank you, Carlo.
Thank you.
Good luck. All righty, 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics has been around in Sun City since 1982. Chuck Knighty, I've known him since 1968. Him and I have been in trouble before, but both of us, I think, have a good heart. And who else has a good heart is his son, Derek. So at Auto Dynamics, you can bet your bottom dollar that you're going to be treated fairly because Derek is a part of the administration there. So if they're on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue, been around a long time, and it's one of my favorite shops for mechanical repairs and basic repairs in the Sun City area. All righty, we're going to take a break. Oh, no, we're not. I'm going to talk us down to the end of this. You didn't even say anything, Gil. You didn't even say anything.
No, I did. I gave you your 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you did give me. See, Gil's giving me 2 minutes because I'm 1 minute and 8 seconds away from having to say goodbye to you. Not forever, just goodbye for the breaks. And Gil will tell you that I can hit the mark. So, for instance, if I have to be out at exactly 30, I'm going to talk myself down to 15 right now. If you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. That was exactly.
I know. That on those tablets, Mr. Moses brought down.
I thought we left a little early.
Did you just play that for me, or am I still live?
Space shuttle that covers probably three times.
No, I went to break. Oh, I just had number three programmed out of queue.
Okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Minutes after the hour at 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Every Saturday I'm here from 10 to 12 talking about cars. You're always welcome to join us. My email address is mark, with a K, at marksalem.com. Mark at marksalem.com. You're always welcome. And if you'll leave me a phone number, I usually will call you back because I hate to type. Anyway, let me tell you about a really good repair shop, and that's Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. I've known Tom since 1983. This ain't his first rodeo. He's been around the block a long time. He's honest. He's dependable. He knows how to fix cars. And if you want to talk snowmobiling in Wisconsin and northern Minnesota, he's the guy that'll sit in the lobby with you and yak snowmobiles. He's got one that I rode that did, like, I swear, it was 300 miles an hour across the lake. I'll never go back again because my suit was wet after that. It was just a scary ride. But Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Let's go to the phones and talk to Dan. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Or afternoon. No, yeah. It's still morning. Okay. Hey, I've got a question for some gray-haired guy with multiple gray whiskers.
Okay, okay.
And have an old 55 Bel Air Chevrolet four-door.
Okay.
With, it's, and matter of fact, still has the original radiator support. It hasn't been hacked off yet.
Ooh.
But, so, which is unique, because I've seen so many with them hacked.
Yep.
But anyway, it's, I've had it for 25 years, and it's on jack stands right now, and it's one of those project cars that one of these days, which never happens, but
yeah.
The problem I have is the drum brakes on the front. They're locked up tight as a, and it rolled up, you know, well, about a decade ago, and but it's been on jack stand, but they are seized up, and I beat on them and heated them, and okay. Even took an old late model Chevy rotor, bolted it to it, and to use the little ribs on it to beat on it, and it won't budge.
Okay.
So
I would
any suggestions?
Yeah, at the very bottom, there's that little rubber plug where you stick your adjustment spoon in.
Yeah, with the star wheel.
Yeah, the star wheel. And I would get a can of WD-40, and I'd just pump it in there until it started coming out of the drum.
Okay.
And I'd drop it down on the ground and get it off the jack stands. And I'd hook a chain to the back of it, and I would tell my wife to take off as fast as she could, and I promise you those brakes will come loose.
Okay. Okay.
I've been there. I've beat on them like you have. I've done everything that you've done. We got to get some lube in there. Now, you can also spray through the top. You can do that, you know, get WD-40 with the straw. You're going to replace the shoes anyway. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just, or you can take a garden hose and stick in the back of those drums and just get. But you're just going to have to force it, and you're not going to do it your way. You're going to have to put another vehicle in there and just kind of jerk it along. Now, if you get it out on the asphalt, they'll break loose pretty easy.
Okay. And one other question, if you got time.
Sure. Go right ahead.
It's got the old six-cylinder 235 with an old Rottenchester one barrel. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody make an aftermarket carburetor for that application you're aware of?
Us old guys can make that work better than anything you could buy. Anything you could buy. So the answer to your question is I would not suggest you do that.
Okay.
I think you have a really cherry car there, and I want to tell you something. Here's the key. You got to take the car to the guy who's going to do the work. He has to drive it, start it, check the choke before he starts. He needs to know where the problems are at. Is it running rich? Is it running lean? Is the body...
Yeah, it's leaking out the throttle shaft.
Yep.
So it probably needs to be rebushed.
Well, maybe. It depends on where the gas is coming from. So, see, if it's the throttle shaft, there's no gas on the throttle shaft. There's nothing in there. It doesn't go through the bowl. So it opens and closes, and up above it, we have a snorkel, and as the vacuum pulls the fuel out of the bowl, then that's how you go down the road. So, no, you can't take it off, though, and just give it to somebody because they don't know what they're fixing, and then you'll find out what they created that you didn't have. And that's the big deal. What part of town do you live in?
Tempe.
Hmm.
I used to go to old Charlie C. Jones, or I know they used to overhaul them, but I don't know if they're still around.
No, they're not. Where do you live in Tempe? I mean, give me major cross streets.
Like Southern and Mill.
Okay. I think you get the brakes unlocked, and then you can probably drive it, yeah?
Probably not. Okay. It needs a lot more work. It's been sitting a while.
Okay. If you want it just to get it running, get it running, then you're going to have to tow it. And we're at Warner and I-10 on a 1 to 10 scale. For me and my guys, that's a 4.
Okay.
So it's going to cost you $400,000, though.
Probably. Plus tax.
Plus shop supplies and environmental charges. Okay.
There you go.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your show. Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. It's embarrassing that I have to refer myself, but it's not about me or my shop, but it's convenient for him, and we're very good at that stuff. So if he wants to drag it up on a tow truck, actually how he would do that is he would get the tow truck driver just to wet the bed of the truck. So he'd have a garden hose there, and they'd just winch it up on the truck, and then they'd winch it down, and then the shop would probably put some rollers underneath the tires and roll it into a bay or something like that. But getting the brakes undone is pretty easier than it sounds. Anyway, 602-508-0916. Harry, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go to the phones because Harry's been waiting a while. Harry, good morning. How can we help you?
Barracuda.
Yeah. Did you like that?
A friend of mine had one. They were Mopars, the answer, I guess, to the Camaro and the Mustang. He had a fastback. It was fairly nice looking, but had a lot of electrical problems with it.
Yeah, but it had that 340 hot rod motor in it, so it was fast enough to hold its own.
Well, his had like a 273, that little smaller V8 that they came out with. Yeah. And we always kind of chuckled at him because we had Fords and Chevys, and he had a Mopar. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're out of jail, and you want to talk to your wife, or what's going on?
Yeah, well, no, I was going to ask you an oil question. You're an oil guru. On semi-synthetics and everything, I heard a deal about semi-synthetics. Of course, you never know how much synthetic they put in. They can call it synthetic by just putting very little in it. Or semi-synthetic, is that correct?
There's no rules or regulations, so it can be a 90-10, it can be a 50-50. The difference between the three is just oil change intervals. So conventional is 3 to 5, semi 5 to 7,500, and synthetic is 7,500, depending on who you talk to, all the way up to 15,000.
Yeah, now how they, I heard something about back in the late 90s, evidently they had some sort of a regulation change or something, and that the semi-synthetics kind of fell into a class 3 or something like that. It was class 3 and class 4, the 4s being the full synthetic. What's the story on that?
I don't know when semi-synthetics came out, but it you're talking 17 years ago, and I don't think they were out then, but I've been wrong before. I don't know about any of those rules you're talking about. The oil has improved more than the car has. We're running some cars to 20,000 miles. The oil is protecting everything it's supposed to. We know that the metal content of the 20,000 mile oil is less than we ever thought it would be. The moisture, the water, the everything. So right now, the best part of your car, the most up-to-date part of your car, is the oil that's inside of it for the last 5 years. So, yeah.
Well, that's what kind of concerns me a little bit, because I have a Ford now.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of the EcoBoosts, and I was asking the dealer, because they put semi-synthetic in, and when they do oil changes under their deal, they do semi-synthetic. And I said, well, do you do full synthetic? He says, well, we really don't like to. And I said, well, why not? Better oil. And I would think with a twin turbo, a little more strain on the motor, you'd want to have the best oil you can in the motor.
You can go up. It's just version 1, version 2, version 3. If you go up and you want to go that, if first of all, how many miles do you drive a year?
Oh, not many. Oh, 6,000. Okay. I usually get a change once a year.
Okay, and that's it. 6,000 is perfect for a semi-synthetic. 6,000. Because if you put a full synthetic, it'd go 2 years. And you don't want to go 2 years without somebody checking your car over. So I am going to agree that based on the mileage, and they've been putting semi-synthetic in it, that that's the appropriate thing, because it's once a year. Now, I want you to change your oil in April every year. So I want you to go through the winter or the summertime with fresh oil.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good to me. That's usually what I do on my Honda.
Okay.
Ford, I kind of a little different.
And stay away from Kurtz, because Kurtz is not treating you fair. You know that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
well, then Jeff left. He left. He's gone. He's the guy I talk to all the time.
I understand. We lose, and that's Jeff is family. So it's just, my kids have come and gone too. So Harry got to run, but thank you very much for your call, and thank you for your oil question. Charles, you're up next.
Thanks, Mark. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Hey, Mark Salem. I have a opportunity to acquire an 07 S550. Been parked for 6 years. Probably has 120K on the engine. New transmission at about 70,000 miles. The owner told me he put it in. I lifted the hood, debris on top of the engine, a few pods, these desert pods. I don't know if it's a Palo Verde or the mesquite tree. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. The way birds brought it in there. Immediately look for rodent signs, but, I can't get under it because it's that one that has the, what do you call it, without a better use of words, the lifters, when you turn it on, it lifts.
Uh-huh.
So it's very low to the ground. So anyhow, I'm interested because the price is right on it, which I'm not going to share with you because you'd just like saying I'd be a fool to not accept it. But really, it's a no-brainer to me. So where do I take it? And I know I have to have it towed because, I'm not going to crank it because the gas could be bad. I know the batteries, I'm going to have those replaced. There's a couple of them there. It's already looking
okay,
at
okay,
five.
Hold on. Is this gas or diesel?
It's a gas.
Okay, yep. So it has two batteries. It's a gas?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
You mean it's a diesel if it has two batteries? So I'm wrong?
I don't know, but it's a 550. Here's what – have you already bought it?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm waiting for the paperwork to arrive, the title, because he's overseas and he's not coming back as far as I know. He's not coming back.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Well, here's my suggestion to you. I think if I were you, I would make arrangements to have it towed to the shop of your choice, and I would ask them to do a used car checkover. I would ask them. I don't buy the idea that there's been birds underneath the hood. I don't buy that at all. If you've got, I saw a boat the other day that had those cactus that jump on you everywhere in the boat, and they're rats. So one of my customers, yeah, it's rats, it's mice, it's whatever. They're carrying that stuff into the boat. That means they're having to go over the transom or somehow. So you need to have this checked, and then you need to get it running. So if that costs you $200 to get it running and drive it around the block, fine.
Okay.
But you can't possibly buy this truck not knowing everything you need to know, even if the deal is good. What happens if one of the main harnesses is chewed up?
Mark.
What?
My bad. My bad. It's an S550. It's a Mercedes.
Oh.
S550.
Okay.
Yeah, if I said an F, but you're right. F as in Frank or S as in Sam. It's S as in Sam.
Okay.
So it's S as in Salem.
All right. Where do you live? Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm in the Scottsdale area, North Scottsdale.
Okay.
Like near the
Perfect. Yeah. Have it towed to Goody's.
Oh, Goody's, okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, have it towed to Goody's. Goody knows more about Mercedes-Benz than anybody I know. Goody knows more about Mercedes-Benz than I know about Chevrolet, Ford, and Chrysler. Goody can look at it. Goody can smell it. Goody can get it running. Okay. Goody can tell you what the problems are going to be on that, and he can probably tell you that, 27,452 miles, this will happen. So, I mean, he's really good at what he does, and you should go have it towed there and have it looked over. Explain to the customer, the owner, that that's what you want to do, and tell them you're going to put it back the way they found it, and you're going to give them all the paperwork that came with the inspection you did.
Sounds fair.
That's what I'd do. Yeah, Goody. You can take it to Goody's. When you meet him, you'll think that he came across the pond in the Ark. And but aside from, he is this.
That's a heck of a description for somebody, but I'm getting it.
No, hey, Goody, you he can fix them over the phone for me. I call him up,
God.
And I said, every time I open up the door, there's a squeaking noise, and the car passes gas, and then the windshield wipers start flapping, and he goes, the red wire on the 17 scuculator valve is touching the ground, and it's probably going to be over by the door. And sure enough, he's right. So, you got nothing to lose. He's the best Mercedes guy that I've ever met before. So he's your guy.
Well, he sounds like it. I mean, you described him as, like, if you drop one of the O's, he's the god of Mercedes and the god of vehicles.
What? He I wanted him to be on the best car repair shops list, and he said to me, I am way too busy for that. And I respect him for that. But that doesn't mean I can't tell people in the North Scottsdale area, if you got a Mercedes, and here's the deal between you and me, okay?
Yeah.
Just between you and me. There are certain okay. There are certain dealerships that send Mercedes to him because all the young bucks there wouldn't know one end of the old ones from the new ones.
Nice.
So, and if you have a foundation to spark and fuel, then you can carry that forward. I got to run, but anyway, Charles, good luck to you, and tell Goody he owes me $3.50. Okay. That's what that was worth is $3.50. Anyway, 602-508-0960. We only got about 4 or 5 minutes, so if you be really quick, 602-508-0960. My email address is easy. It's Mark with a K at marksalem.com. Salem is spelled like the cigarette. Mark at marksalem.com. You're welcome to send me an email. If you do, then give me your phone number so if I can call you back, because I'm going to have questions. So I'm happy to do that. I usually get that in 24 hours, and sometimes I don't, but I'll do the best I can. And if you tell me what time is the best time to call you, I'll try to do my best to hit that mark for you. So hopefully you have a good car repair shop, and if you don't, go to marksalem.com and pick one out. They're all really good shops, and here's what I promise you. If you have a problem with the shop that's listed on my best car repair shops list, and the shop doesn't perform as they should according to the mediator, the arbitrator, and Mark Salem, then two things happen. Number one, the shop's kicked off my list, as I've already done to two other shops. And number two, your car needs repair, I will pay personally up to $5,000 to fix the problems that the shop created. Fix the problems. So if you had your engine rebuilt and it's got an oil leak in it and the shop won't fix it, then the shop's gone, and I'll spend up to $5,000 fixing your oil leak. That's never happened. It's never happened. I've never spent a dime because these guys are the best of the best. So that's the reason why my list is very valuable to me, and I think it started in 1988. And it's just, it's really the best of the best. I know each one of these guys personally. I have their cell phone number. They have mine. So we're all a very close-knit family, and we all refer to one another, but there's a certain semblance of confidence, and you feel good, and you know that you're not going to have the customer turn around and drive their truck across your yard and call you names. Because, well, I'm sure we all have an idea of what right and wrong is, and that's what it's really all about. The one big difference in some of us old guys is we've been around the block a couple of times, so if we have a customer that comes in and spends 20 minutes telling us about all the bad shops they've been to, and then they tell us what they want us to do to the car and how to fix it and what they think it is and all that kind of stuff, we don't want that. I mean, it's real simple. We don't want that. And so how do you get out of that? You just tell them a checkout fee could be $400. And usually they'll turn around and leave. But the bad part about that is they're going to go tell everybody that Salem's really expensive and he's an idiot. Well, here's the salvation as far as I'm concerned. Your friends already know what there is to know about you. So they're going to go home and Abe's going to say to his wife, Madeline, you wouldn't believe what they told him. But, yeah, da-da. So anyway, the idea is that there are good shops out there. And I also want to tell you, there's good shops out there that aren't on my list. Some of them are too busy. They say, I can't handle additional work. There's a BMW shop that's like that. There's another North Scottsdale shop that's like that.
1 minute.
They're just really, really busy. So they don't need the extra, you know, they don't need me sending them more customers because they're pretty comfortable where they're at. So that, nevertheless, Mark at MarkSalem.com is an email. MarkSalem.com is my website, and you're welcome to visit there. And there's a lot of FAQs that answer some real common questions. The FAQs are a conglomeration of questions that I've had on the radio for the last 20 or 30 years. So they evolve, and I update them on a regular basis, but it's a good place to start is the FAQs. Anyway, Mark at MarkSalem.com every Saturday right here on KKNT 960. We're talking about cars. We start at 10 o'clock. We go till noon. Gil is my engineer. He's the one that talks in my ear. He uses bad language sometimes, but he says it's justifiable because of I'm being a jerk or something like that. He's kind of like my mother, but I wouldn't trade him for any 10 other engineers or anybody.